Welcome back to the MLL podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Devitt. I'm the gear and lifestyle editor at Inside the Cross. And today, as all days on the MLL podcast, I am joined by MLL writer and expert, Chris Rosenthal. Chris, what's good?
Kyle, I gotta say, nobody wants to grab these playoff spots yet. I think that's the big issue right now, but makes things more exciting for us going forward.
And no one really wants to catch the hands. Nobody. They're just waiting to the last minute for a throwdown. We're going to start where we always start, with the weekend recap. Our first game, the New York Lizards 14, the Boston Cannons 13. It's interesting because I think the Cannons seem to have this one under control early on, but then Joe Walters and Will Manny remembered that they were cut from Team USA and went off. Drew Adams was also great in goal, and the New York defense actually strung together some stops to help secure the win. Buy or sell this as a changing moment for this Lizards team going into the playoffs?
So I'm going to sell it because it was kind of a World Games game, and like 90% of what we watched this weekend existed solely in a vacuum of this weekend.
Fair.
That being said, it doesn't matter one bit either way because you just got to get the wins, right? So, you know, the win's the only thing that matters, and the Lizards got that win, and they just have to keep doing that if they want a say in whether or not they go back to the postseason. So now the tricky thing is they got to put the other guys back in their spots, you know? You know, they got to have Pennell back, got to have Rabel back, Fletcher presumably back. So they're going to have to maintain this. I don't want to say despite those guys, because obviously they're like the superstars of the team, but they have to maintain the consistency. So my question for you is, where do you think they go from here?
I think it depends on, I'm going to say this for a lot of these teams we're going to talk about. It depends on if these World Games players come back and are ready to play right away. Because yeah. I think you might see a few guys that, you know, sit one game out because they got to recuperate, man. The travel alone, even though they've almost had a week at this point to get reacclimated, sometimes it's not enough. You know, you don't want to risk getting hurt because you're tired. That's dumb. Even in a sport that isn't your full-time living, that's something you need to consider coming back, and you don't want to hurt the team, right? I mean, a lot of those players, and I don't know if people know this, a lot of the U.S. players in Netanya were carrying injuries anyway. You know, a lot of guys were playing banged up in the gold medal game for sure. And guys on both sides, but a lot of Team USA guys were nursing some injuries they had in the MLL. So I think it depends on what happens there, but I wouldn't be shocked to see all the Lizards players back, except for maybe Fletcher. I thought Fletcher kind of looked like his injury got worse as the World Games went on, from what I saw, but I think that they just have to keep winning, you know. And once we get to the weekend slate, there's five games this weekend and this week, the two on Thursday and one on Sunday. So there's room for players to come in and make an impact right away. I just don't know how many of them there are going to be. In terms of just straight up New York and Boston, what does Boston do now that they're really out? They were out, but now they're really out. What do they do?
Yeah, you know, I feel like probably don't change anything because I don't think they have answers yet. You know, whatever you thought about them before this season, you probably still think it, you know? I mean, do they need some offense? Yes. Do they need some defense? Yes. You know, everything seems to me to be up for grabs next year. Like, I would not say right now there is a single position on the Boston Cannons roster where they are completely like, yes, there is no room for improvement here.
I think the only A-list player they have is Baptiste.
Yeah. I mean, that being said, if they want somebody to challenge for that spot, I mean, aside from his resume, it wouldn't strike me as crazy. You know, yeah. If they're like, you know, obviously not, maybe not a first round pick next year or something like that, but, you know, they're looking to grab somebody else to, you know, come in and battle a little bit, or, you know, take some of the load off. It wouldn't surprise me. So, I mean, I think they just keep plowing along, and this whole season is kind of an evaluation process, because, you know, once it didn't really pop off right away, I think we kind of felt like it wasn't going to happen. So, some tryouts, really.
Yeah, and it didn't. It's interesting. They got some games left. We'll see what comes out of there. I think that we should be seeing major moves in the offseason, but we won't. You know what I mean?
Probably not.
Like, we won't. And if we do, they aren't going to be good. So I don't have a ton of faith in that. Let's move on to our next game. The Atlanta Blaze 13, the Ohio Machine 10. Chris, I'm going to play doctor a little bit here. I'm going to call it time of death. 7:27 on Wednesday this week, where we're recording the podcast. RIP, the Ohio Machine season. RIP, 2017 champs. Atlanta was the best Atlanta for long stretches of this game, longer than I think we've seen. And even though they didn't have some key contributors on defense, I thought they looked dangerous on both sides of the ball. And they might be closer to that playoff spot than anyone else thinks.
I definitely agree that Ohio is, you know, unfortunately officially over now, instead of kind of unofficially we were thinking for a while. But as far as Atlanta goes, I think when you're watching them, or when you saw them this past weekend, you could look at the team and think, like, okay, I see what the plan is, and I see what you're getting at, I see why you made the moves you made, you know? Kevin Rice doing what he was doing, and Chris Cuccinello, also back from the World Games.
No breaks.
You know, he was, just straight, hopped on a plane and landed and kept playing, and was very good, you know? I mean, just no break for him. He looked really good working in tandem with Rice. And then you have the guys like midfield shooters, kind of like Demer Klass, helped out in the shooting game. Not so, you know, he doesn't have so many people like hanging off of him. He doesn't have like a triple team, a double team to worry about right now. So that's making sense. They had Palasek kind of playing a tweener game, depending on if he got the short stick or the long stick. It all kind of made sense watching that game. I've got a note here. It says, try to find another way to say what we've been saying every week about Sergio Salcedo. I don't care if he never scores another goal again. He's just making everybody else that much more dangerous, because they don't have to worry about being the initiators or, you know, anything like that. They can just cut to the crease. They can just step back for deep shots. He's just kind of raising the midfield productivity because he's making everybody else so nervous and they have to slide. And it's just everybody's benefiting from him right now.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys like that around the league. I think he's probably the best one. They're just straight-up disruptors. And yeah, you usually see it with a lot of, like, tweener guys. Like, Mikey Schlosser is like that for Denver. I think Joe McCallion can be like that at times for the Hounds, too. So that player that doesn't have a ton of crazy stats, but everybody's still scared of them when they're on the field, and everyone knows when he has the ball and where he is and where he's dangerous from.
Right.
Again, I don't want to belabor too much on Ohio. I did hear that Schreiber would be playing in the next game. So, you know, good news for Ohio fans. I believe it's one of their games is a home game at least. So, you know, I mean, they have last year and they built up to that, and they're just going to have to build again for next year, unfortunately, but it doesn't mean they're not fun to watch, really. They still, yeah, like, I mean, the defense gets penalties, and, you know, they have a nice kind of rotation and goal there with Rodgers and Burnmore they've both made silly saves this year. So at the very least, you're getting an entertaining product. So you should still go to Ohio Machine games if you have tickets. It's not like there's no value there. And, you know, for Atlanta, this was a huge win for them. Like, this was a confidence win. They need it, and they're going to need it this weekend. Let's move on to our next game, the Charlotte Hounds 20, the Chesapeake Bayhawks 10. Chris, yikes. Yikes. I got to say, Chesapeake with a truly poor effort here against the Hounds. I thought Charlotte played with a much higher intensity throughout the game. It looked like a well-drilled lacrosse team playing against a collection of dudes who weren't sure they wanted to be there. This result straight up shocked me. What did you think?
Yeah, man. So the most surprising element to me was just how dominant everybody looked on Charlotte's squad.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was just everybody was doing it. And I mean, for Chesapeake, like, you know, sometimes you just get your teeth kicked in, you know? And it was surprising because of the players that Bayhawks still did have on their roster. You know, I mean, they lost some to World Games, but, you know, they still had some scoring leaders on the team. They still had, you know, the starting goalie and, you know, the bulk of their defense. And, you know, they weren't missing enough players to justify a 2010 loss, you know, where you would actually look at it and say, oh, well, you know, of course they got doubled up by the Charlotte Hounds at home. It was, I mean, yikes, man, it was bad. It just, all of the Hounds were able to kind of do whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Rambo was just physically imposing all over the place. He had one play where he like drew back for a feed. The feed got knocked down. He came running in, scooped the ground ball and scored the goal. Like that's not a play you typically see in a professional lacrosse game, you know? Maybe like much younger, like a youth league sort of thing where one guy can just kind of run through everybody else. Tim Rotance was just a monster all over the place. Just name a guy who, you know, suited up, who was wearing a Charlotte uniform, and he was doing something just absolutely stupid and embarrassing the Hounds. Sorry, embarrassing the Bayhawks.
The craziest thing is that Charlotte was legit without four of their best five players. Both Hawses, yeah, not in the lineup, no Ryan Brown, and no MVP of the World Games, Michael Earhart. And they dropped a 20 spot on Chesapeake, who statistically, before this game, was easily the best team in the league in pretty much every stat, every defensive stat. Like, you can call certain games outliers. I mean, Chesapeake fans, you better hope this is an outlier. Because if this is indicative of the run to the playoffs, the run is going to consist of you falling down. And then the run will be over. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know what to make of it. I really don't. Hopefully it's just a stumbling block for them. And also, I think it's a great sign for Charlotte, who kind of looked dead for the last like month or so of the season. So this could be the galvanizing win that they need to make the playoff push and get a better seed. Let's move on. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So definitely could. Also, Pierce Bassett was their goalie for this game. Matt Abbott drives to, you know, GLE, goes into X. He finally initiates with 11 seconds left in the quarter. Chesapeake works it and throws it out of bounds. They never get as close as they were at that point. 3-1 was the closest. From that point on, the Hounds just steamrolled. And they never even took a shot, never drove, ran off 5/6 of the final minute of that quarter. And that, while I will admit, everybody on that field and on that bench has learned and forgotten more about lacrosse than I may ever know, I stand by this one statement. Scared money don't make money.
Yeah. We need to start a club team with that as the name of the entire club team. I don't know how you fit it on shirt, but I feel like we can find a way. All right, our final game that we're going to recap from week 13. Dallas, 13. Denver, 12. Easily the game of the week, featuring the debut of the first Japanese player to ever play in the MLL, Keisuke Iwamoto, who almost had his first career win were it not for big, bad Ben Reeves. Bad as in he's a bad man, and he ruined the narrative, but good, and that he won the game for the Rats. Chris, what did you make of this contest?
Yeah, so, you know, I gotta say, first of all, Iwamoto played very well, especially for somebody in their first game. He wasn't shuddering under the moment. He stood up to the challenge, and he played very well, kept them in the game early on when Dallas was kind of going on an offensive onslaught. long term, I'd say I didn't learn much from either team. You know, it's a close competitive game. These were both two teams with huge winning streaks who knew what they were doing. They both lost a ton of talent, but they're both ridiculously deep. You know, like, we've seen Blaze Redden win in goal already. We've seen Jordan McIntosh be the featured player for the Rattlers. You know, we've seen Kavanaugh and Law doing their thing for Denver. So nothing too lesson learning from this game. I will say this, though. The biggest thing about the game was Chris Kluche's injury. And I guess we have to wait and see what is going to be the diagnosis, if he's fine or not. But he was kind of helped off the field, limped off. You know, we'll see how that plays off going forward and how Denver's going to recover if they do lose him for any significant amount of time, because they are still in the playoff hunt. Nothing locked in yet.
Yeah, and, you know, Denver will probably have to face the loss of Jack Kelly, who went down in the World Games with a knee injury of some sort. A lot of speculation around that. I've heard a lot of things. I can't really report anything with any certainty, but I don't know if he's going to be good to go. I can almost guarantee you he's not playing this week. That's the minimum I can do. So, but hey, great backup plan. Best goalie in the World Games was Dylan Ward. He's also on the Denver Outlaws. So things looking up for them. Dallas here kind of playing in a role they're not familiar with this season, having to come back in the fourth quarter and beat Denver kind of at their own game, using matchup play to get the majority of their goals there in the fourth quarter to get the win. What did you make of that kind of psychological comeback when it's not fueled by someone like Jordan Wolf or Ned Crotty or one of the other veterans? It was a lot of young players.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best things that a team can kind of learn about itself. I think people always kind of fall in love with losing a game. You know, if a team, like an NCAA basketball team, is undefeated for a really long time, they'll be like, well, you know, maybe they should lose a game to learn about that sort of stuff. I don't really subscribe to the notion that you have to lose a game. I think you can probably learn just as much by winning in a different fashion. So I think that's kind of what they did this game. You know, you don't have Jordan Wolf. You don't have Ned Crotty. You know, somebody's going to have to initiate things. You know, is Ben Reeves going to be your guy if, for some reason, you know, Wolf is shut down or, you know, does something where he gets, you know, is instant in the penalty box or whatever? Will you have somebody else who can kind of step up? And, you know, Reeves kind of, you know, put it on his shoulders late. And it is, you know, if you are a Dallas fan or, you know, somebody in the organization, it's good to know that you're going to be okay if you need to go to a plan B or, you know, a plan 1A or whatever you want to call it. It's good to see your depth in action.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually talked to the Rattlers coach, Bill Warder, this week for kind of the first time in an extensive fashion, talking for about an hour about an article I'm doing for the magazine and about the Rattlers and moving to Dallas. And one of the things that struck me was when I asked him about trading up for Reeves, he was like, well, we were looking at Reeves 2 years ago. Like, we were waiting to pick him. And he's like, when the draft fell the way it fell, we couldn't believe he was there. And we knew that someone else didn't want that pick, and we can just go up and get him. And we did it. And he was like, it wasn't so much that he was proud. It was more like, yeah, of course we did that. You know, he's and the way he talks about Reeves, Reeves is perfect for that Rattlers, not system on the field, the family aspect of that team. You know, he's smart. He's independent. He can dodge. He can, you know, he can do a lot of things on the field, but off the field in the locker room, he's a quality guy. You know, and that's one of the things that you see is guys that are jerks don't stick around, at least not the Rattlers franchise. I'll tell you that right now. Right. There are guys who have been shuttered in and shuttered out of there real quick, and that's one of the legacies that Sudo left behind when the team moved and Warder has picked up and kind of used to make that team into the only team, as of this recording, that has locked in a playoff spot and not just a playoff spot, but home field advantage in the first round. So I think that's definitely something we have to look at and consider. And, you know, I think this win is huge for Dallas because now they know if they have to do this, if they have to come from behind, if they can't just lean on someone and watch them fall, that they can cut their legs out. That's a dangerous, dangerous team. And they respect Denver a lot, and they don't really enjoy Denver very much. So if you haven't had a chance to watch this game, definitely try and find it. It was awesome. I would definitely recommend checking it out. The next thing we have is our playoff picture. But as I said, the only team that's locked it up is Dallas. Everything else, all three other spots, 2, 3, and 4, within 1.5 games of one another. So we're looking at a situation where we could be, you know, falling into that trap where 3 or 4 teams, 5 teams even, finish with the same record. And then we're just sitting there trying to do algebra again on our hands. And the tiebreaker is like, this guy's dog is named Buddy. So there's no way to really figure that out at this point. But one of the players on those teams fighting for a playoff spot is the New York Lizards attackman, Will Manny, also an assistant coach at the University of Utah, which will begin their first NCAA season this coming spring. Welcome in right now, Will Manny. We'd like to welcome in to the MLL podcast, New York Lizards attackman, Will Manny. Will Manny, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I like to say your full name twice because I'm not good at podcasting. We just wanted to ask you a couple questions. Thanks for coming on the podcast. I guess we start out with kind of the biggest event in your life right now outside of MLL, which is, you know, the program at Utah. How has building that program changed you, and what have you learned from that experience?
Yeah, it's been a crazy ride. I mean, we're going on year 3 coming up at the end of August, living out here already. So it's been a great, crazy ride, and a lot of great things have happened, and a lot of hard work has gone into it. And that all attests to Coach Holman, Brian Holman, our head coach and our boss, kind of taking that leap of faith and bringing us on board, us being myself, Marcus, and Adam, and just being able to be a part of, one, the MCLA the past 2 years was a cool experience, and now moving to the Division I ranks, which we've all had an experience playing in, and majority of us coaching in. So we know what's ahead of us. The community around us has been so helpful and thankful, and supportive. And people from school have just been great too, whether that's just being intrigued about the sport or just helping us with whatever we need to get acclimated to the school as fast as possible, because September is right around the corner. And just officially being official is what we've been saying, and it's just a great, great opportunity for us moving forward.
Now, well, you've kind of been on a tear lately with these, you know, game-winning performances dating back a few weeks, and then the All-Star, and then kind of picked up again against Boston most recently. What is your personal philosophy on, like, the concept of clutch? Like, is all this a coincidence, or do you think, like, you kind of have a desire to put yourself in these positions, you know, you're not afraid late in games, or it's kind of right place, right time, or a bit of everything combined?
Yeah, I think it's everything combined. I got asked after the Boston game kind of the same question, and what I said was, when I was in college, I was more on the assisting end of game-winning goals or go-ahead goals, and that was when I was more of a quarterback. And I think the experience is number one, just knowing how to stay calm, and every game could be tight in the MLL, and not getting too nervous or rush a play comes into play. I think one of the best traits of my lacrosse game is just being in the right spot at the right time and getting guys to slide and being in a great spot to score a scoring opportunity. And then I take pride in my shooting. I have a different release than a lot of people. I hide my stick well. And for this last game winner versus Boston, it was more of me dodging and doing something that I haven't really done in the past year or two, just based off who I was playing with. But for me, I think it's a combined piece of everything that has been a part of my lacrosse career since college, all coming together. And luckily enough, it's continuing to keep us in the playoff spot. So
now, I know you probably won't want to answer this question, but I'm going to force you to give me an answer. It's only a number, so just bear with me. on a scale of 1 to 10, how vindicated do you feel looking back at the trade that sent you to New York? Just 1 to 10. Just give me a number.
I won't give you a number, but I'm going to say I had to get over it quickly. When I got traded, the Lizards, Joe called me right when it happened, and he told me I'm playing on that Thursday night. It was a Tuesday when I got traded, so I had to get over it quickly. But all in all, I'm just happy to continue to play. And the best part is my family. I live 10 to 15 minutes away from Hofstra, so they only have to come 10, 15 minutes to come watch me play and tailgate as opposed to 3.5 hours to Boston. So overall, I'd give it a high number.
I'm going to go with 7. But you don't have to say
7. 7 it is.
So now this season, leading the league right now, 38 goals. That's a career high for you. 53 points, also a career high. Was there anything different about your training or preparation this offseason? Did you kind of have to change any style heading into this year?
I don't think it was changing any style. I just think, for me, living with two of the most competitive people in Marcus Holman and Adam Gittleman has helped. You have Marcus, who has a tremendous work ethic and pushes me every day. And then we have a goalie who does the same thing that we could shoot on. So for me, I think it's more experience and understanding the game and the MLL style. Plus, I think I amped up training a little bit, just with how strong your legs have to be and then just continuing to be conditioned. I think working out in Salt Lake City has helped with the altitude change, because I don't really remember being tired in any of my games this year, which is pretty funny, because it actually is a real thing working out here. But I just think it's the people that I surround myself with every day and work with have kind of set me up for just being confident every time I step on the field.
I absolutely believe the altitude thing. I just got back, and it's awesome. You feel like Superman the first couple times you do something after you get out of there. So I think I know the answer to this one too, but what stick do you use and who strings it?
Yeah, so I've been this season I've been using the STX Ultra Power, one of their new heads, and I use a Surgeon shaft. Luckily enough to be working with STX and being sponsored by them for the past couple of years. Just love their gear, love their sticks, and they're just so supportive in what we're trying to accomplish as players and them as a company. Sean Rooney, my boy over at Lacrosse Unlimited, has strung my sticks for probably since 9th grade, 10th grade, so I can't even count those years anymore. But he's been great. Anytime I need to get something quick, he'll string it up and send it, or if I'm home on Long Island at my parents' house, I'll just stop into their house and he'll get that done for me in 10-15 minutes, just how I like it. And whether it's 1, 2, or 3, just to have backups, they're all strung the same, and you can pick it up and use it for a practice and right into a game. So thankful for him. I don't know what I'm going to do if he ever gives that up. I might have to get a 20-pack of heads and have him string it over a week span just to have for the rest of my career. So, STX and Sean Rooney are my guys.
Nice. A little lane change here. What's the last great movie you saw, and what is the worst one you've seen recently?
Well, I haven't seen a movie in the movie theaters in a while. Last great movie that I've seen. Are we talking, does it have to be a new movie or the last one I've watched on television that I love?
That works.
Happy Gilmore, watched it the other night. Or Salt. You guys ever seen Salt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Salt was on actually 2 nights ago. I watched that, so I'll go with Salt. Worst movie? I don't know. I'll get back to you on that. I'll keep thinking throughout the rest of these questions, and I'll try to answer it by the end, because I can't really think of one.
Well, we're going to give you another tough one. Who is your favorite team sports athlete, and who is your favorite individual sports athlete?
Yeah, I think for me, I watch a lot of basketball, and big fan. I know it sounds weird because I'm from New York, but the Knicks are terrible, and I just like watching good basketball. So I'm a big Steph Curry fan because I just feel like I relate to him in a couple of ways, whether it's being more undersized or lighter in weight. and just having a significant shooting stroke that a lot of people like to watch. So Steph Curry is my favorite guy, just the way he works off ball. He doesn't always have to do it with the ball in his hands while dribbling. He's always coming off screens and scoring assisted buckets, which I feel like I've done really well the past 2 years. So I'll go with Steph Curry. And then for individual, I'm going to have to go with I love Ricky Fowler. I'm a big golf guy as well. I think golf's my second favorite sport to play behind lacrosse. But a guy that is just so close to winning all the time, and he's always right there in the end. And I don't know what he has to do to get over the hump, but I'm just a fan of him because he kind of just sneaks under the radar in all these tournaments and is right there. But need him to get a big win. I know he won the Masters, but I want to see him win a couple more tournaments. But I'm sure he will with his young career that he has so far.
Now, finally, where can people follow you on social media and recommend a song for us for a summer MLL playlist we're putting together?
All right. Well, my Instagram is at WillManny1. It's the same thing for Twitter. And a song to add to your summer playlist. What do you guys like? Do you guys like rap? Do you guys like EDM, house music, funky stuff? What do you guys like?
Well, Kyle Harrison told us you had some new stuff that you were showing him last week.
Who said this?
Kyle Harrison.
Yeah, Kate. And then Kate, you know, I spent some time with him over the past 2 weeks, which is nice. I'm going to have to go. My song right now is Bigger Than You by 2 Chainz and Drake, so I'll go with that.
All right. Sounds great. You come around to that worst movie yet?
I have not. I'm trying to.
You can let us know on Twitter. It's all good. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that one.
All right. Sounds good. Hey, thanks for checking in with us. Thanks for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the season. I know you guys are fighting for that, for the playoff spots. And we will check in on you next week and this weekend.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Love what you guys are doing. And yeah, I'll get back to you on that movie.
All right.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Will Manny. He doesn't not like movies. Right? Right?
Yeah. I think he is a generally satisfied film watcher. So that's good.
I'm really happy for him.
Yeah. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. It's good, but a lot of people don't see movies that they're disappointed by, which is good.
I mean, he liked Salt, and I don't want to like shade him at all, but like the ending of Salt is terrible. So the rest of the movie's awesome. It's great. Russian Spy, Angelina Jolie. I'm here for it.
Sure.
Jumping into the river is the end of the movie? For reals? For reals, dude? Come on. You think that's just, you're just going to get a sequel? How about you add 5 more minutes and there's like a submarine or something? I don't know. Throw some CG.
That would be cool.
Yeah. It'd be good. It'd be good. All right. We're going to move on to our recommendation of the week. I'm going to go first. And my recommendation to everybody listening, take some time off, man. Just do it. I took a quick vacation in Colorado last week. I got to say, I really enjoyed my time there. The mountain air, it made me strong again. And as fun as this job is, and it is fun, there's still a need for downtime for everyone. I had been going nonstop since February, and it was definitely time for a break. But the bad news for all of you guys is that now I'm rested. So I would watch out. That's all I'm saying. I think arrested Kyle might be more dangerous than tired and angry Kyle. Thinks more clearly, plots more carefully, so keep your head on a swivel, okay? Just be aware.
I like that. It's like the Incredible Hulk, but the exact opposite.
Yes.
It's like, you won't like me when I'm well rested.
No, you will not like me on a full night's sleep, sir. You will not enjoy it.
I like it. My recommendation for this week is a song, and I'm not going with a new school song. I was thinking about this. I feel like I'm probably a step behind on the song spotting game right now. So if I said anything, it'd be like, oh, you should listen to the new Drake. And everybody'd be like, yeah, we already heard the new Drake. So I'm going to go in the opposite direction. I'm going to give you a song from 1971 that I recently came across around May. And for the past, I'd say, 2 weeks, I have been running it over and over in my head. So maybe somebody out there would like it as well. This is a song by a group called The Dramatics. And you might know The Dramatics because they sang backup on Doggy Dog World off of the Snoop classic Doggy Style. Now, they had a song. And if you're looking for a summer jam to kind of keep you going right now, I recommend this one. The Dramatics, back in 71, put out a song titled, and I quote, Hot Pants in the Summertime. Now, the chorus of this song goes, if I'm not mistaken, hey girl, you sure look good in them hot pants, hot pants. Now, I'm going to assume that he is speaking to a girlfriend or wife, because I don't condone yelling that at someone you don't know. But if you know, if your lady is modeling some hot pants and it is the summertime, I think she would probably appreciate the compliment. So check out that song, Hot Pants in the Summertime by The Dramatics, and enjoy it.
It's the Kiki Do You Love Me of its time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What sort of affirmation said, hey, you sure look good in them hot pants in the summertime?
Everybody needs daily affirmations. All right. We're going into the weekend preview. Our first game, no breaks, no time off. The Ohio Machine versus the Florida Launch. That's Thursday, 7 p.m. No one knows what network it's on because they change it every weekend. I wish I could tell you if it's on ESPN Plus or LSN. I just don't know. I just don't know. This game only matters for the Launch, who desperately need a win to keep their playoff hopes alive and go into their game on Saturday, because this is the first of their doubleheader with a renewed sense of purpose. They had last week off. They've been laying low for a while, I feel. Chris, if you're Ohio, what do you play for here other than the return of Tom Shriver?
Well, other than the return of Tom Shriver, the return of Frank Brown.
Oh,
that being
said,
how can I forget? Don't forget the Batman to Shriver's Robin.
Yes, yes.
But so my thinking about this game is, I think that this, like, Ohio Machine season is obviously going to be compared to the last one. So if you can grab another win or two, I think the story might be a little more about, you know, just missing the postseason than, you know, instead of dramatically missing the postseason. It kind of helped you put this in obscurity instead of kind of holding it up in infamy. And honestly, I think it really just comes down, if you are a member of the Machine, to two things, and you know you're already out. It comes down to, you know, wanting to keep your job, although I think some people on the team definitely have jobs that are guaranteed to be there next season. And finally, you know, putting on a good performance and not wanting to look like a jerk, you know? Like, people will notice if you kind of phone it in, you know? And there aren't very many motivators greater than wanting to keep your job and not wanting to look like a jerk. So I would assume Ohio is going to go out and still give a very strong performance.
Question.
Yeah.
Is it too late to propose Frank Brown parachuting into the stadium?
Let's see, Thursday game. I think the Machine could put that together in time.
Do I need to text someone? Because I'll text someone.
I think you should send a text and see if we can do it. And if, you know, there are very few teams that could pull that off.
Yeah.
But I think Ohio could. They got, you know, resources and creativity and stuff like that. So yeah, it's not out of the question.
I feel like Atlanta's the only other team that could do it. Everyone else is going to struggle just because of logistics of that happening.
Right.
For Florida, it didn't lose a ton of guys to World Games, and I think those guys are pissed that they haven't played in a while. So I would not be surprised for the Launch players, especially that attack line, to just unleash hell. I really think that they're going to go nuts here. I'm not saying it's going to be like a 10 goal victory or anything, but I would expect Florida to come out shot out of a cannon. Oh, I just did that. All right.
It's tough. It happens sometimes.
I'm coming back. I'm coming off a break. Give me a break. All right. Anyway, I think Florida is going to do well in that game. Our next game, also on Thursday at 7:30 p.m., the Atlanta Blaze versus Chesapeake Bayhawks. I think Atlanta looked to be real last week. And, you know, the Bayhawks were basically shot out of the sky. You know, but yeah. Both teams have players return to the lineups from the World Games, including Lyle Thompson for Chesapeake, who reportedly will make his debut with the team this Thursday. I feel even without that, this should still be a great game, right?
I think the game should be amazing. This is one of the ones I'm especially looking forward to. I just think the matchups are there. It's like, you know, heavyweight battles all over the field. So who is on Kevin Rice? Is Matt Reese going on him? Because Matt Reese has been physically dominant, picking off passes, you know, just really a nightmare for anybody who's been trying to dodge against him. So, I mean, you might see those guys going against each other. Lyle's back in the lineup. Where does he go? Is he going to come out the box? It seems like they have enough attackmen right now. Obviously, he is, you know, well-suited to play attack, but you know, it depends on where they move some guys in that lineup. But if they, you know, if Lyle comes back in there, where is he going to be? Are they going to have Graham Hossick covering him? I think we talked about this a while back, but Hossick's first MLL assignment was covering Thompson because of his indoor familiarity with him and, you know, the way that their styles kind of clash in a fashion that Hossick is comfortable with. So it's just going to be like that all over the field. So definitely looking forward to see how this thing plays out.
I want to do a Kevin Rice update because I think most of us know that he took the bar exam after two very long days. He is hopefully done with the bar forever and is excited to head to Atlanta bright and early for another must-win game with the Blaze. So he's dialed in, folks.
Nice.
Kevin Rice is dialed in. So that's good for everybody. And, you know, as always, it's great to see Lyle play field lacrosse, as everyone that watches the World Games can attest to. Our next game is the Boston Cannons versus the Charlotte Hounds. This one's on Saturday at 5 p.m. You know, Charlotte dropped 20 goals last week, as we said earlier. They eclipsed their plateau that we so infamously imposed upon them the last couple podcasts. You'd think the scene would be set for that to happen again against the Boston team that's, you know, still figuring things out, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Boston wasn't missing a ton of guys. Missing Brody Merrill, Baptiste, and Siebold. But that being said, you know, not a ton of guys, but some significant ones. It's going to be tough for them, you know, obviously, but we'll see. Charlotte has not been consistent as of late. Granted, this was obviously a giant, giant offensive explosion for them. But, you know, can they do it again? That's the question now. And then, you know, after that, can they do it next time? That's gonna be the big question for them. Matchup I'm interested in seeing that might pan out. Do we see Baptiste versus Withers again? You know, Withers haven't been traded to the Hounds, because I would look forward to seeing that. So fingers crossed we get that again for a couple more rounds.
Yeah, let's hope. Charlotte's kind of been dressing two face-off guys and trying to figure out matchups. I don't think that's a great thing to do in the MLL. I think you just need to, if you start losing draws, you just need to throw two poles on the wing and pray, you know,
right.
Instead of switching guys out, because you're kind of wasting that 19th spot that could be like a two-way guy or another scorer for you. The thing we haven't talked about with Boston, Nick Morocco, you know, made his first start. Tyler Fiorito's on IR. He won't play again this season. So Morocco's basically their starting keeper. It's not like he played badly against the Lizards last week. You know, he had 12 saves. Very respectable performance. Guy coming out of Georgetown that I think probably got more bird after the draft than, you know, he should have gotten selected. You know, like he's a guy that just kind of like floated. I think a lot of the GMs and coaches just weren't impressed with this goalie class, which is fair. I didn't think there were a lot of great goalies in there. But – I think, you know, he has a chance to kind of cement a roster spot here. I think he's kind of outplayed a bunch of their options there. So I would, my matchup is, you know, how does he do against Ryan Brown after Ryan Brown scored, what was his shooting percentage? Like 73% or something?
I think so. It was like 120.
It was silly. It was silly. And we will get to the World Games when we finish these previews. But yeah, Boston versus Charlotte, some interesting stuff in there, not to be overlooked. Our next game is the Florida Launch versus the Atlanta Blaze. This is both these teams' second game of the week. That's at 7 p.m. on Saturday. I think because it's their each team's second game, that it's going to be directly influenced by the results of the Thursday game. So if both teams win their earlier games, this one's going to be great. If not, I feel like this could be a huge stinker. I don't want to like put some bad juju on the game before it happens, but this one could be bad if they both lose earlier in the week. But if they both win, I think it'll actually be great. These are two teams that match up with completely opposite philosophies on offense, where the Florida offense is very reliant on attack and going at the goal from behind the cage. And Atlanta will attack from all places, but is happy to initiate if Rice doesn't work out, you know, Connor Kelly or as we've said earlier, Sergio Saucedo starting with the ball and kind of trying to break guys down and look for second and first assists. So I think that this one could be good, but I think more likely someone's going to lose. One of these teams is going to lose that Thursday game, and then we're going to get stuck with a whole bag of not great stuff. What are your thoughts?
Right. Yeah, it definitely has the potential to swing either way. It could be, you know, a super huge, huge, huge game, or depending on their previous matchups, could feel like a game that, you know, should be flexed out. It really, because, and also kind of where they are sitting standings wise, you know, if Atlanta or Florida drops their earlier game, are they going to come into this one with the sense like, you know, oh man, oh, I can't believe we lost that first one. Now our season's over, you know, or will they still have the fire to compete if they stumble earlier, or will they kind of start doing the math and feeling a sense of dread from it? You know, assume, let's just, you know, for the sake of sports fans, let's assume they win their games. This one will be huge to watch. You know, Atlanta's going to have a little bit of a lead, I believe. Florida's going to try to keep them from grabbing that final postseason spot. And, I mean, personally, matchup-wise, I want to see Dylan Malloy versus Atlanta's physical bruiser defenders, because, you know, a lot of Malloy, what he enjoys doing is just kind of, you know, smashing, colliding against other people, and then, you know, maybe he'll roll, maybe he'll step back, whatever he does, but he initiates a lot. You know, I'm not making anything up or thinking too crazy here. He initiates a lot just by physically, you know, smashing into dudes. So I don't know if Atlanta's going to put Hasek or Callum Robinson on him, but both of those guys, you know, are definitely up to physical challenges. So definitely want to see how Malloy ends up faring against them.
If it's Malloy Robinson, there's going to be a fight, and I'm here for that. Let's see some hands. It's been pretty quiet this year. We haven't seen a ton of chirping this year. I don't know if we've talked about this really. We haven't. It's been pretty like polite. Don't you think?
Yeah, it's a shame because when something pops up, it's great, and you know we can talk about it for weeks and you know, text and send tweets about it and stuff. But you know, we really appreciate it when it does happen. So yeah, you know, I don't want to tell any potential players who are listening to this to go scrap. But it would be great if you scrap.
Chris Rosenthal quote: "It would be great if you scrapped." All right, our next game: the Chesapeake Bayhawks host the Denver Outlaws on Saturday at 7 p.m. For me, this is absolutely the marquee matchup of the week. Two of the best teams in the league going after each other at as full strength as they can be. And unlike the previous game, Florida-Atlanta, I don't think earlier results matter here, as this is actually a budding rivalry that could And this game could determine playoff seeding. So this is actually one of the most important games of the weekend.
Yeah, and these two have a history of, like, all-star game numbers in their matchups. You know, it's not crazy to think this could be a 21-20 game or something like that. That's kind of the way these two have been going in their recent past. So it might be, you know, last goal wins, and we're just going to swing, and nobody's going to play defense on anybody. You know, we'll see. We do need to see Chesapeake. I mean, man, and Denver. These guys, it feels like they're both playoff teams, but neither is actually a playoff team yet.
Yeah,
we'll see. We'll see who's actually going to scrape to the top of this thing.
That's why I think it's the most important game, because you've got absolutely 2 and 3 just going. And, you know, it's funny. Like, I've talked to other, you know, players and coaches, and the team that everyone was scared of in the first half of the season is Chesapeake.
Right.
And the team that everyone's scared of in the second half is not Dallas. It's not to say that people aren't concerned with them, but Denver is the team no one wants to play, because they are a nightmare to match up against. All of them can dodge. It just needs all of the offensive players can dodge. There just needs to be an opening. And then they just cut you. And then they keep doing it, and they keep doing it. You know, hopefully Max Adler's back for this one too. He was also in Netanya playing for Israel. So I think that him going against Stephen Kelly is the probably matchup no one really cares about, but I think it might actually decide the game.
Yeah, definitely could.
So I would definitely keep an eye on the Faceoff X there. Our last game, the fifth game of week 14, the Dallas Rattlers will host the New York Lizards Sunday, 6 p.m. I feel like because it's a different day, we can have another best game. So if Chesapeake Denver is the best game of the week, this is a close second. I think last week Dallas looked vulnerable at times to Denver's pace and ball control. And, you know, New York, not so much with the pace, but with the ball control, we've seen them be able to, you know, have extended possessions in the six. And New York is getting a little better on defense. Not good, but better than they were. And again, with the addition of all the players back from the World Games, how do you see this one playing out?
Well, so here's why I think it's tricky. So Dallas has been far more consistent. And you have to assume that they're not going to take their foot off the gas. But it has to be a bit of a concern, right? I mean, already locked up home field advantage. So you're wondering, like, does somebody like, you know, Jordan Wolfe or, you know, John Galloway, do they need some time to rest? Like you were just talking about coming back from this World Game situation. It is obviously a risk, no matter how much you say, no matter what kind of locker room pep talk you get, there is always kind of an inherent back of your head risk that if one team that doesn't really need this game for anything other than, you know, continuing their winning streak and maybe trying to keep New York out of the postseason, if that's a motivation for them, like, do they bring enough to the game to stop a team that is really in a position where if they don't keep winning, they might be out, you know? Like, it must be a very, very hungry Lizards team, and you just have to hope that Dallas can match that kind of hunger.
So I think what you're saying in a nicer way than how I would say it is that everyone in the league is rooting for Dallas in this game.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely – I have always been on record as saying nobody wants the Lizards in the postseason.
No.
Like, even if they stumble there, you don't want the Lizards to come between you and getting to championship weekend.
Absolutely not. And it could very well – this could be the game that either knocks them off their, you know, I mean, they're only 500. They're in that kind of 5-6 spot, but anything can happen. This is a great weekend to determine. I mean, I still don't think we're going to know anything for sure.
No.
Unless, you know, Chesapeake manages to win both their games. And then I think, you know, they lock up a spot. But other than that, you know, we're still battling here. Those final three spots are not guaranteed. Nothing is guaranteed in the MLL. Just want to leave you on that note. But first, we're going to talk about our MVP of the week. And I'm going to cheat here because this is easily the MVP of the week, but I'm going to let Chris start.
All right. Well, so before I announce my MVP, I do want to give an honorable mention shout out because I just remembered this when we were talking about chirping and scrapping. During the Lizards Cannons game, Joe Walters, after scoring his fifth goal of the game, he's standing on the sideline. Cameraman goes walking up to him. Walters looks right at the camera and says, I quote, "Goalies, don't talk, leap." So now, apparently the youngster, Mr. Morocco, might have had some words for Joe Walters. I don't know why you'd have words for Joe Walters. But whatever happened, Joe Walters wanted us all to know, and all young goalies out there, don't talk bleep. And especially don't talk bleep to Joe Walters.
Again, Joe Walters is the streets. So
he's a bad man.
It's the last guy. The last guy.
Yeah.
Who's your MVP?
Now, when I was 12 years old, I went to my elementary school lock-in. That previous summer, I read a crap ton of books, and some of my friends also read a crap ton of books, and the people who read the most got to go hang out at the school after hours. It's like a Friday night, kept us there from like 8 p.m. till like 6 the next morning or something like that, and it was dope. We had fruit snacks and pizza, had a great time, played some board games, stayed up till like 12:30 or however late we stayed up. It was a great time, and it was awesome. Now, that feeling was replicated this previous weekend thanks to all of you guys, the MVPs, lacrosse Twitter, because from 3 a.m. for most of you, 4 a.m. for me because I actually slept late, we all got together and watched an awesome USA versus Canada championship and just like, you know, tweeted about what we were watching, tweeted about jokes, tweeted about the commercial that they kept showing over and over again. It was just a great time. It was a fun way to watch a lacrosse game, fun way to do anything. Honestly, it was a great game, but I will, looking back, remember more than anything else, hanging out with lacrosse Twitter and watching the game. It was way better because it was at 3 a.m., and, you know, if you watched it later or something like that, that's fine. You're entitled to do so, but you missed the big party with all our rowdy friends here on lacrosse Twitter. So you guys are my MVPs.
Yeah, it's funny. During the broadcast, I think Quint was like, hey, go find your lacrosse-loving friend, wake him up, and I was like, all my people are here. All my people are on Twitter. It was only diehards, no fakes, no like part-time lacrosse fans. If you stayed up to watch that game, you are an absolute G, and I salute you. There could be no other MVP. I get why they did it. I'm not going to complain about it. I actually think it's great. We should do the national championship game at 3 a.m. I mean, I cheated. Yeah. I was in Colorado, so it was 1 a.m. for me, so it wasn't that bad. But it was awesome. I really enjoyed the experience, like you said, of interacting with everyone. Everyone just telling jokes, man. It was great. And the best part of the community that we're all a part of was there. You know, if half the people that were watching the gold medal game listened to this podcast and interacted with us, I'd be ecstatic. I think that would be amazing. I also hope that half those people care about the MLL. Because without the MLL, those world championships are bad. Because those players have nothing else to play for. So one of the things that I think what the World Games gave us is a little perspective on how much the pro game actually matters. How much it actually develops players and puts them at a level where they can play, two nations can play a game that intense and that skilled and that, you know, impactful. I don't want to like ruin that sentiment by being like, hey, remember what we said in our previous podcast? Yeah, we were right. We were, but it's besides the point. It's besides the point because we still got great games out of that blue division, from a lot of the teams. I think, you know, obviously if you just look at score lines, you know, USA, Canada, and the Iroquois are so much better than everyone else that it's kind of not as fun. But if you're a part of those nations, you know, obviously go and help those nations develop. Like, you're a lacrosse person if you're listening to this. You know, you're not like some person. It's funny, I was getting my haircut the other day, and I was getting ready to do the podcast, and she's like, "Oh, what are you doing tonight?" I'm like, "I gotta prep for the podcast." And she's like, "Oh, you have a podcast?" And I'm like, "Yeah, but it's about lacrosse. You probably wouldn't listen to it." And she's like, "No, I will. It's okay. I know you didn't. I don't expect people to listen to the podcast. You know what I mean? It's very niche, but what the World Games does best is show everyone else the best niche sport that there is. And it's lacrosse. And that sport is not just built with grassroots. That sport is built partially, maybe not as much as I would like, or even Chris would like, from the top down too. Because without top-down development, you don't have a game that's that good. The best lacrosse that I've ever seen in my life is the USA tryouts that I went to last summer. It is, without a doubt, easily the most impressive, intense, skillful collection of players, even though they were doing drills. And the drills were better than entire double overtime games that I watched during the NCAA season. You know, that does not come from nothing. And it doesn't just come from college programs. So if you're listening to this, I implore you to support the MLL like we do. If you can't go to a game, or you're not near a team, you know, buy a hat, buy a t-shirt, you know, tweet at your favorite player. The other great thing about lacrosse is everyone's so accessible. You know, they're happy to have fans. So I think, you know, we can take advantage of that now. I think we can use the momentum from the World Games to promote the rest of the MLL season. And we should. We should. Because that didn't happen previously. You know, even as soon as last year, when guys were skipping the All-Star game to go to tryouts. Kind of backwards, if you think about it. But here we are, you know, obviously the ending is super controversial, and I don't even want to get into it. I really don't, because there's part of me that's like, oh man, Canada, you got hosed. And then there's another part of me that's just like, America! Yeah! You know? So I don't really, I don't know how to rationally look at it yet. It still hasn't really sunk in. Even when the goal got scored, I was like looking around like, what? Did we win? You know, I think I got like 5 tweets at the same time. We were like, did we win? What happened? So, yeah, it was great. Great experience, and made better by all of you. So let's keep the momentum going, and let's roll through the rest of the MLL season, and let's all have a great time, man. It was a great time to do that. Imagine if we did that for the MLL championship. How great would that be?
We should do that. Let's book it.
I mean, you and I do it any day anyway. But like, sure. It'd be a lot more fun with more people. You know, it's like the lock-in, like you were saying. Absolutely. Except it's just one big board game that we're watching and commenting on. It's great. I think that's going to do it.
It's a great time. Yeah,
I think that's going to do it for this week. It's a real opportunity for all of us. So let's all band together and support the MLL. And, you know, thanks for listening to this podcast. You can check me out on Twitter at @TheKyleDevitt. Same handle on Instagram. Chris, where can they find you?
I'm @ChrisRosie22 on Twitter and @ChrisRosenthal on Instagram.
Thanks for listening. Check you guys later. We on fire. Step up in the